The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Before we get into our Bible study, I want to take time to pause. Bermias, will you come join us up front? A lot of you have met the Bermias either while getting a cup of coffee in the morning or being greeted or just exchanging a beautiful smile. They are help lead our hospitality greeter team. And a couple years ago, how long ago was it now, that car accident? 2013, so 3 years ago or so. Jaylene was in a car accident, and thankfully the car accident, the car was kind of beat up, but Jaylene was okay. But they did some normal things to check her out to make sure she was okay. And in the process of saying, you know, there's no scratches, but there is something we found. They found a brain tumor. And for the last 3 years, they've been watching that. Jaylene's been meeting with specialists. And recently, they decided it's time to start chemo. So that's all now. And we just want to surround them in prayer as these steps take place. We believe that God is a God of healing and power, and but He also invites us to that praying process. So we're going to pray for them. And any of you that want to come up and just hug them, lay a hand on them, show support, you're welcome to do so. Come on up even now as I pray. Let's pray together. Father God, we love you. And we know that we love you because you first loved us. Before the foundations of this world, you knew Jaylene would be standing here at this time. You knew this tumor would be at this place. And you knew we'd be calling out to your name. Asking you for your healing hand of mercy. God, we believe that in all things you have complete power and authority and control, and we pray for healing right now. We pray the power of your Holy Spirit to just come and touch Jaylene's body, and that you would take this tumor completely away. At the same time, God, we know that you give us creative minds and created us as intelligent beings, and there are wonderful doctors and specialists who are being involved in doing your work, and we pray that you lead them, give them discernment as they take one step at a time and walk with Jaylene and the Bermia family through this. We pray for your love, your courage, your strength to surround this family and all of us as we lift them up together. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. We love you. As they walk away, I want to introduce some others to you. Kim, if you're here, will you come on up? And Becky, if you're here, yeah, will you come on up? Do we have any? David, will you stand? Actually, will you come on up with us as well? Is Alex here? I think they may be out. Okay. Come on over here to the middle. One of the beautiful things about today is we get to talk about Hope for Nova. And standing before you is a small part of the amazing team that God is putting together. I know a lot of you have been doing a lot of things to help this mission, this vision come to be. And but I want to say a couple special things. First of all, we felt God leading us to, instead of Hope for Nova just being a Hope Hill Church thing, as you'll see in our Bible study today, we believe it's a kingdom thing. We believe that our partners in other boats, if you will, the other churches in this area, God is wanting us to unite together over this work. And so Hope for Nova is now its own separate incorporation. We gave birth September 1st, the way Alex Galliano, our CPA, put it. So we're very excited. I want to introduce to you, a lot of you have heard David speak on many occasions. David is on our board. Alex, who's not here, is on our board. Dariel, a lot of you have met him from Cuba. He's on our board. Kim is our interim executive director. And all of them are volunteering their time. And Becky is leading our clothing closet ministry there at the Hope House. And so we're going to give you a little bit more information about that clothing closet in a minute. But before we do that, I wanted to at least put some faces with names. And let you know to be praying with us. This is an exciting week for many reasons. I'll get into that in a minute. But let's hear it for the way these guys and others are serving. Several of you, yes. Thank you. I know you don't like standing, so you can go have a seat. But you got to talk, so you guys stay here. They have a couple things they want to share with us about some next steps right before. So take it away, Kim.
All right. As most of you know, we've been working as a church for the last 2+ years to really develop some great relationships with the residents of the Forest Park Mobile Home community, and that's where our first Hope House is. During that time, one of the needs that was identified is a place for families to come when they need clothes and they don't have the resources to buy them. Becky is the program leader for the Clothes Closet, and she has a background that gave her a unique passion to lead that program, and she's going to announce our big three needs that we have for our upcoming grand opening on September 24th, this Saturday.
Okay, first of all, I brought some props with me. We're looking for anyone, if they can, bring in some shopping bags, and these are particular shopping bags that we wanted to give our guests. They can be either, as long as they have a cloth handle, this kind or even this kind. We want to give them a good shopping experience, and not just with the little shopping bags, because you can't really fit very much stuff in the little ones that come from Wegmans or something. Also, the second announcement would be we need volunteers for the grand opening, which is next Saturday, from 10 to 12, and we're hoping to pull in some Spanish-speaking volunteers as well, because most of the community is Spanish-speaking, and we need interpreters. We also need English-speaking volunteers as well. And so I think that's it. Oh, and the fall and winter clothing. We have enough clothes right now to start off with, but starting next week, we will start accepting fall and winter clothing, especially coats and winter gloves and things like that. We're also in need of a lot of the teenage boys' clothing. We were kind of short on that. We have enough to start out with, but between the ages of 15 and 17, if you guys have any of that.
So. And if I heard right, donations can be brought here,
yes.
Not to the Hope House. There are certain hours where they're and able to receive things. So the best bet is if you can collect these things that we're looking for each season to season, it'll change. If you can bring them here, we'll have a team that will receive them and nice, gently used, clean.
Yes.
Clothes. That'd
and also they'll be back at the connection table. The bins will be back there for both the shopping bags and the clothes. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you, Becky. Let's hear it for this these steps. Today is an interesting day. Basically, I'm just going to call it a kickoff day for our school year. I'm going to be kind of wrapping up some of what we've gone through in the past year and some vision for what we're looking forward to this next year. If you're visiting, this is a perfect day because you kind of get to see our heartbeat all at one time. If you've been coming for a while, a lot of it's going to be echoes, but that just goes to show how deep in our DNA the kind of stuff we're talking about today is. And we believe and are excited that God is just preparing us for bigger and greater things, all in His name. And so we're excited about that. One of the things that I'm most excited about is that we get to be a part of seeing lives be transformed. This past year, from last school year this time till now, including this coming Wednesday night, Hope Hill will have seen 52 people baptized. And so that's amazing, okay? The average size church in the United States is only 72 people. So we had that many almost baptized in 1 year. And so it's awesome to see how God is bringing life change. If you missed our picnic last week, it was amazing being able to see those baptisms. And there's 5 more this Wednesday night at one of our community groups that's taking place. And it's great to see God doing this. And this is what it's about. While our hearts and our beings are about bringing change to our community and meeting needs, we're not just a good deed doing organization. There are tons of those. Everything we're doing is with the purpose of leading people to know who Jesus is, of how He loved them, of how He who knew no sin became sin in our place, allowed His life to be laid down to offer forgiveness and not just life in heaven one day, but new, abundant, full life here and now. And we're going to be looking at how that's possible as we look into our study today. But I wanted just to kind of give you some requests, some things to be praying about, and also celebrate with you some awesome things that God is doing. this coming Wednesday, we're going to have a group of people doing a tour of the D.C. area. I learned in my meeting with Frank Principe, one of the district supervisors this past week, that the unique thing about Woodbridge is there's no other area in Virginia that is situated the way Virginia is. We are the only minority-majority community. And what that means is literally by reaching our backyard, we can reach the world. God has brought the masses to us. And God has purposely placed us as individuals here in this community to be a light and to bring hope. Hope Hill Church is all about the hope that can only be offered because of what Christ did on a hill 2,000 years ago. And there are people in need from all around the world. I was shopping in Walmart last night, and as I walked, getting ready to check out, I every single cashier was from another country. It was amazing to see just the beauty of the ethnic diversity and the number of nations that are right here. And we have an opportunity like no other time to be missionaries without traveling overseas. And so this is what God has called us to. We believe that this Hope for Nova vision is too big for any one church. And so we started a board, and we've now invited individuals from other churches to be on that board, because we believe this is not a Hope Hill thing. This is a kingdom thing. This is a God thing. And God has given us the privilege of being able to be a part of that, and we're excited about that. As Hope for Nova grows, we believe, if you have not heard about Hope for Nova, I encourage you to stop by the connection table and get a handout. We have got a booklet kind of on a summary of our vision. But just to kind of give it to you real quick, this year we have not only seen 52 people come and walk through the waters of baptism, but we have also seen God open up the doors for us to purchase our first Hope House. Now, years ago we had a trailer. It was a $7,000 trailer, a whole home for $7,000. Can you believe that? In this particular community, though, and like most of them, in order to keep it, you've got to keep someone living in it. For a year, Doug and Kathy, two beautiful people who were a part of our church years ago, before they moved to Oklahoma, they lived in that home. And we had missionaries, we had ministries happening out of that home, community groups, clothing closet, tutoring center, food pantry. And the doors to that home closed. All along, though, God had a plan. And on the literally doorstep of that community, there are two ways to get into that community, and they both kind of are on a square. And that first square, before the two parts of the trailer park begin, there's 1 acre lot with a house on it, 3,000 square foot house. And God opened up the doors for us to buy that house. And so that house is now our Hope House. Dariel and Delanus are literally there right now, moving in and getting settled. We have state representatives coming to tour that house this week. We also believe that it's not just that house. We believe God is going to lead us to purchase several Hope Houses, trailers, townhomes, homes like that, and communities of need, where we can be the hands and feet of Jesus on mission for Him. God didn't call Hope Hill Church to be about building a stained glass cathedral on a corner somewhere. Buildings can be great resources and great tools, but we want to be very intentional about where we put our resources. And we believe Hope Houses and Hope Centers are the way that God is leading us. So Hope Houses, I'm excited about that. I want to say a huge thank you to any of you who came out over the last couple months, especially yesterday. We had a team out there for hours doing yard work. I got blisters to prove it. We had painting and renovations going on. It's exciting to see how that home is being transformed to do even greater things in His name. In addition to that, God showed us, while I talked about this vision kind of boldly back in February, we had no idea that the doors would be opening this fast for us to take the steps we're taking. And the potential of our first Hope Center has opened up. Do you have that picture you can put up on screen? That is the Featherstone Shopping Center. Right across of it, across from Route 1, there is another trailer park of high need. But within Featherstone Plaza itself, we believe that little red circle down here is the potential next step for us, which would be a Hope Center. 45,000 square feet, a place where we could have counseling center, recovery groups. Go to that next slide that kind of has the blueprint. Administrative offices, gathering places for worship. But we're not looking to build ourselves a building. The purpose of this is to be a church planting and community transformation center. What do I mean by that? Well, we want this to be a place within that community where the people in need who live in that trailer park or live behind in state streets can come and have addiction counseling, recovery groups, where they can come and be a part and have their kids be a part of a student transformation learning center, where we have an after-school care program going on every day of the week after school. An established food pantry, cloak closet for that area. But more than that, we see new churches being able to be birthed. On the corner here, that's grayed out, that's an old movie theater. Right now it's just gutted out cinder block building. And I envision a community theater in there. Us being able to train and equip students in the gifts, in the arts, fine arts, and being able to put on performances and being able to train kids and give them hope and a future, a way to be able to achieve their dreams. In addition to that, it could be a venue where a small church could meet on a weekend. There are several small churches, one, a West African church that was meeting in Planet Fitness just around the corner down Route 1 from this building, and they had to move out. And right now, there's about 30 of them. They're trying to meet in a basement, much like we did our first couple months. And I'd love to be able to say to that West African church, come and use this part of the building. We could have, in the middle there, there's 500 seats there. That's how big that space is. 500-seat auditorium type of multi-purpose space. We could have another small church plant meeting in there. And in the back, you see other large assembly areas. We could have three or four small churches meeting in there as they get off the ground. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about what we can do to use our resources to impact the community and expand the kingdom of God. And other people are noticing. In the past year, we've established partnerships with Image Church. First Baptist Church of Woodbridge has said, we want to help you get into that place. We want to put forth the financial resources to secure this location. The Southern Baptist Convention has said, if you guys are able to get things worked out, we may be able to provide all the labor to build this out at no charge. And it's exciting what God is doing. And you're going to see today that I believe that this is what Hope Hill has been about from the beginning, and this is just the beginning. God has so much more in store for us. So thank you. For those of you who have been investing in what God's doing, thank you for those of you who have literally been being the hands and the feet out there doing the work, building the relationships, mowing the lawns, pulling the weeds, shoveling the gravel. Everything that you've been doing is producing fruit. 52 people this past year going through the waters of baptism is what it's all about. And we want to say thank you for enabling us to be on mission, God's mission. And we could just pray right now and end. Okay, but we've got Bible study to do to reinforce all this, so let's do that. Here we go. Number one, I believe that God will continue to bless us in proportion to how much we take care of the poor and the needy that God places around us. If you're taking notes, that's your first couple blanks. God blesses in proportion to how we take care of the poor and needy in our area. Where do I get this from? First of all, a verse I didn't throw in there, but if you've been here long enough, a lot of this is going to be an echo of what our heartbeat is. Genesis chapter 12, God called Abram and said, I'm going to use you and I'm going to bless you, but not so that you can just be a blessing and hoard all of this to yourself. I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing. Through you, all the nations will be blessed. This has been God's plan from the beginning. The church is plan A, and there is no plan B. God wants us not to build a building where we can huddle together and keep ourselves clean and unstained from the worldliness around us. God, from the beginning, has said, I have called you and sent you into this world to be hope and to light, be light, and to bless those that I've put around you. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, the passage here is talking about how the Israelites were brought into captivity in the Babylonian Empire. And God says to them, while you go to the place where I have carried you, even their captivity was a part of God's plan. As you go to the place where I have carried you, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God is saying, I have sent you into the world, not to be of it, but to be in it, not of it. To be used by me, to go and bless. Earlier he said, plant gardens there. Build buildings, let your sons marry their daughters, and bless the people that I have put around you. In James chapter 1, verse 27, James, the brother of Jesus, not just one called a brother, the literal biological brother of Jesus, who, by the way, didn't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah and the Savior of the world until after Jesus died. Imagine Jesus being your brother. That would just be crazy. And not knowing who he really was until he was dead. This guy, James, that was him. And he wrote the letter called James in the Bible. And in James 1:27, as he starts to speak about the kind of thing that God is looking for those of you that want to be devoted to God, those of you who consider, you know, I feel like God's calling me to be more religious. Well, you know what God is looking for in devotion and in religiousness? This is what he's looking for. He says this in James 1:27. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God's heartbeat is for us. The Bible tells us that as he came to this world, he saw the people in masses. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw their needs and he met them. He did not just call us to memorize things about him, but to do the things that he did. To go out and to feed the hungry, to heal the wounded, to give hope to the hopeless. This has been Jesus' call for us in our life from the beginning. God says, I will bless you in proportion to how much you take care of those I have placed around you. And he says, test me in this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. What's the purpose of food? It's to feed other people. There's going to be a time when we need to take the resources that God is calling us to gather together, and the time is now to bless those that are around us. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, he says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room, enough to store it. I believe that as Hope Hill Church continues not to look and think, well, what can we build for ourselves? How can we make church more easy to pull off for ourselves? Let's buy this. Let's do this. If we owned our own building, we wouldn't have to set up and tear down every week. Some of you are like, what's wrong with that? I believe our first call is to take care of those that God has placed around us. And if we pour our mission, if we pour ourselves into the mission that God has set for us to be a light to the world, to be blessing those who are around us, that God will take care of us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of everything else. Number two, I believe that the church needs to be the center of the marketplace. Not pulled away, huddled away, again, backing away from the culture we're in, but going into the culture and blessing and bringing truth and bringing life and bringing love. Matthew chapter 5:13 says this: you are the salt of the earth. Where's salt supposed to be? In the kitchen. On the food, in your food, okay? Now, some of you have high blood pressure and all that, maybe not so much, but go with it, okay? God is saying, we are not supposed to be salt that just stays in a salt shaker. church people huddled in church buildings is not the plan of God. God's plan is for us to be seasoning in this world, to be out making things better. He goes on and he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all men, so that they may see your good works. Do you see the call to action there? We're not just supposed to be dedicated religious people that go to church every Sunday. We're supposed to be doing good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do, according to Ephesians. There are things that God is already wanting you to be doing. The good works that we are to be doing will do what? It'll make people look at us and say, wow, those are swell people. No, that is not our goal. Our goal is for them to see our Father who is in heaven. It goes on and says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. 52 people this past year coming to know Christ as their Savior, walking through the waters of baptism because we are out doing good works. A lot of the people who have come to Hope Hill Church have come because a coworker said, you know, our church is doing this thing called a freestyle. You should come and join us. They see the love in action, and it's infectious, it's contagious. We've had other people going through struggles, family struggles, a coworker reaching out to another friend saying, I know you're going through a hard time. Why don't you I get together with a group of friends who would love to support you. We call it a community group. Why don't you come have dinner with us? That lady I'm speaking of is going to be baptized this next Wednesday at her community group. All because a neighbor reached out to someone in need who didn't know Christ, didn't know how she could have hope in the midst of the struggle she was going through. This is what it's about. It's about us providing hope, hope in Jesus. And my encouragement to us as a body is that we continue to have our eyes outward, looking at who, God, who have you placed around me? Who needs your love? Who needs your hope? And how can I meet it? Or better yet, how can you meet it through me? Luke 5, chapter 1, one of my favorite passages. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Just kind of emphasizes again that the need for us to be in the center of the marketplace. God wants us to be the church everywhere we eat, sleep, play, and shop. Everywhere you go, you're the church. Jesus, on this day, the masses have gathered on the shore of the lake. Many fishermen are out. Some are coming back, washing their nets. And Jesus is teaching. He's not away somewhere in a synagogue. He's right there in the middle of the masses, letting people know of the love of the Father and the transformation that kingdom life can have, they can have in their life. And as he's teaching the group, there's a group of fishermen who had been out all night fishing. If you know the story, how many fish had they caught? Zero, okay? A big zero. That's most of my life with fishing, okay? I'm not a very good fisherman. And they were tired. How many of you are tired today? A lot. Some of you are too tired to even raise your hand. I know. Sometimes it's hard to do the things that God wants us to do because we're tired, we're worn out, we're stressed. The resources are limited. How do we go about this? That's what happens basically here is Jesus turns to one of these fishermen, a guy named Simon, also known as Peter, and says, you know what? I want you to go back out and fish. And you know what he says? We've been doing this all night. Who are you? That's the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, I'm tired. I've been out all night. I haven't caught a thing. How dare you ask me to do this? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt God leading you to do something? You're like, maybe tomorrow. I just can't right now. You been there? Am I alone in this? I'm tired, guys. I'm tired. But Peter realizes who it is. You see, just the chapter earlier, verse 4, Peter remembers there's something different about this guy. This guy was just at my house. My mother-in-law was sick, and he had this way, and he just healed her. There's something different about this guy. Let's look at the passage. Luke chapter 5. One day as Jesus was standing by on the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked them to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into what? Into what? Deep water. To be honest, a lot of us like the shallow. The waves aren't too big. There's not as much risk involved. You can kind of just manage things, but sometimes God wants us to go to deep waters. Prince William County is a big lake, and there's a lot of deep parts where God is calling the church to go. He called them to go into deep water, and he said, let down your nets for the catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard. Here he is. We've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so. He had that realization. There was something different about this man. This wasn't just some average Joe telling him, hey, go try it again. And as we listen to our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, who says, I want you to go out into deep waters, we've got to pay attention to who's telling us to do these things. Jesus never calls anyone to do anything that he does not enable them to do. Did that come out right? Because you say so, we will do it. That is my hope, my prayer, is that as God reveals to us his vision, his mission, that because it's from him, we would simply obey. When they had done so, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Verse 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Simple obedience produced results. Our job and our measure of success in life is not the results, it's how obedient we're willing to be. When God calls us to do something and it's him calling us to do, leave the results to him. But as they were obedient, there was such a large catch. That's a huge catch. Thankfully, I had a fairly successful day a month ago. Lexi, my daughter, my youngest daughter, a sophomore at high school at Forest Park, she said, Dad, before I go back to school, I want you to take me fishing, and I want to catch at least one fish. And I was like, crap. My fishing past is no bueno, okay? And I'm calling around, hey guys, you got to tell me to go, where can I go? And there's a guaranteed catch going to happen. Needless to say, we went out to Lake Ridge. We rented a little boat and we went out. And I am not lying to you guys. I know these make for good stories, but she literally put the worm on the hook. She goes like this. And as soon as it hit the water, a fish bit the hook. I am not lying to you. Okay? As soon as the hook hit the water, I was like, that was just a splash from the bobber. And then, nope, it started being pulled away. I was shocked. That day we caught 8 fish. She caught most of them. Simple obedience, and God will take care of the rest. And watch what's so beautiful about this. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they what? They signaled to their who? Guys, this is too big of a job for us. This is too big of a job for any one church. This lake, Prince William County, Northern Virginia, is too big for any one of us in one of our boats to go out. We have to be working with our partners, the people in the other churches, to realize that this is a kingdom mission. This isn't a Hope Hill mission. And what's exciting is that First Baptist says we're on board. Image Church has said we're on board. The Southern Baptist Convention, the largest denomination in the United States, has said we're interested. We're coming. We want to see what God is doing. when we begin to realize that it's not about us, it's not about our selfish visions and our own dreams, it's about God and kingdom stuff, look at the amazing things that will happen. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. For your boat to be almost sinking? I don't know how long Simon Peter had been fishing to that point, but he knew this was not about him. He knew this was not about the kind of bait he was using. He knew it wasn't about his own technique. He had been all out all night before and hadn't caught a thing. But as soon as he did what the Lord told him to do, boom, and he realized that. He fell to his knees and he looked at Jesus and he said, "Get away from me. I'm a sinful man." This is exactly the position that God desires in us. A place of knowing that in and of ourselves, we could never do these things. The blessings and the salvation that God offers is because of what He has done and He alone. And the blessings that He chooses to pour out is not based on how good your skills or efforts are and whatever craft or trade you do. It's about our simple willingness to be obedient to Him and His calling in our life. He fell down to his knees and said, "Get away from me. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus' response wasn't, "You know what? You're right. I need to find somebody more worthy." Instead, he looked at the lot of them, all of them, that were there. He and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." They pulled their boats on shore. They left everything and they followed him. This is what God is after. God is after a transformed people who are willing to be instruments in His hands to go out and share the good news and cast nets into deep waters. Nets like food pantries, nets like clothing closets, nets like recovery group. All these kinds of things are nets that we are to cast out into deep waters so that we have the hope of catching a few more. All so they can come to know our Father who is in heaven. And I believe that as God, number three, number one, God blesses in proportion to how much we're willing to take care of the poor and needy in our area. Number two, the church needs to be the center of the marketplace. These miracles happen in the center of those places. Number three, the church needs to be the most creative organism in the world. Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. That's some creative, powerful stuff. We have a creative God who made us and who is in the business of creating. Not only did He create the heavens and the earth, but verse 27 says, "So God created mankind in His own image and likeness. And in the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them." God created you to be a creative being and to be co-creators with Him. And God is uniquely gifted and skilled and given you things that He wants to use through you to cast more nets into deeper waters. Let us get busy. The skills, the hobbits, the passion hobbits. The habits you have, God wants to use them to further His kingdom. Let's pray. If you're here this morning, my greatest hope is that you know Jesus. My greatest hope is that you realize that He loves you more than anything in all of creation. He uniquely built you. He uniquely put you together. And he wants to show you how you can have the most joy-filled life, fulfilling the purpose and plan that he has for you. If you don't know him as your Savior and Lord, the scriptures simply say, if you come to a place of realizing that you need him in your life, that he died on a cross, he took my sin and yours upon himself, he who knew no sin became sin in our place. His blood was poured out so that we could find forgiveness in him. And as we call out to him, he is willing to change us and make us new. So this morning, if you've never called out to him as your Savior and Lord, you can do it right now. Father God, come into my life. Make me new. Help me to follow you. Forgive me for the things that I know that I'm doing that are wrong. Give me the strength to turn to you and to do what's right. Help me to see the things that you've put in my life that you want to use for you and for your sake and for your kingdom. Take me today. I'm yours, Lord Jesus. God, thank you for the mission you've called us to be a part of filling. Continue to mold us and make us the people you want us to be so that we can be used by you to see your kingdom grow. God, right now I also just lift up a prayer for those in this room who may be captured by some kind of deep wound, some addiction, some struggle in their life, and they just need to be set free. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit would come and let them see that there's freedom that can be found in you. As we think about all these things, I invite those of you who have given your heart to Christ Jesus to come forward when you feel ready. The Bible says that on the night that he was arrested, he took a piece of bread. As it was broken, he held that bread up and he said, "This bread is a symbol of my body that will be broken for you. As often as you eat of this, remember me and what I've done for you." He then took the cup, and as he dipped the bread in that cup, he said, "As you drink of this, remember my blood that was shed for you." Today, as you feel ready, I invite you to come up and to take a piece of bread, to dip it in this cup, to remember that we're called to do this because of what he has done for us, and that because of him, we can have the kind of life that he's called us to have. If you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior, I'm praying for you. I pray your heart is open to receive him. And if you want to do that today, come on up. I'd love to pray with you. Father God, move in our midst now, I pray. Show us our next step in you, whether that's accepting you as our Savior or doing whatever it is next that you're laying on our heart. Move among us now, I pray. In your name, amen.